Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
The Delphi murder case, just when you thought that it couldn't get any crazier, it does. Earlier in the week, there had been leaks of the photos of the crime scene. I have not seen them. I don't want to see them. I'm sure if you did a little digging somewhere, you probably could find them. But then again, you're talking about searching for pictures of children who had been murdered in the woods. That was a big to-do, a lot of issues with that. And as it turns out, that very action, the leaking of the photos, have now led to the attorneys for Richard Allen resigning on this case. And this is a case that I know Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, you have been following for quite some time and very passionate about. I'm just going to begin there. What is your reaction to these latest developments?
Well, my reaction, Tony, is that this is perilous for justice being served generally. And I'll tell you why I believe this crew of crack defense attorneys, they were very good, considered really some of the best in the state. So this wasn't just as if you had a line public defender that, you know, had a couple years on the job. These guys are good. There were two involved plus a third. And this is so damaging to justice. And what I mean by that is, whether you believe Richard Allen did this crime or not, his defense has been so sorely now set back over a year, right? They've worked on this case a year just to get to this point, and we're just starting hearings.
Yeah.
And what if new attorneys are appointed that then go in the reverse of the whole premise that was set out in that 130-page document by the other defense?
Yeah.
It is perilous to this case. I don't know if we'll ever get justice for these girls.
I know. It's shocking because there's so many questions that now arise, especially on the Odinist theories that were put together by his now past defense. Will that go forward? I want to talk about that in a moment. But first, I want to talk about why did they quit to begin with? From what I can understand, and I want to hear your interpretation of what we've learned about, is that the leak itself of the photos came out of the offices of the defense of Richard Allen. They, of course, did not want this to happen. I believe it's labeled simply as a friend somehow got a hold of the pictures and leaked them. And they've been they're upset about it. They're really trying to work with the prosecution, with the state to continue to try and give Richard Allen as best a defense that they can. They're not seemingly throwing up their hands going, we think he's guilty. But why quit? I mean, this is, it surely showed a lack of security at their office that these things could get out. But other than that, run away at this moment in time.
I think we need to discuss in-camera hearings first. What are in-camera hearings? In-camera hearings are very private hearings with the defense or with attorneys and judges. And the reason they're private and they are out of the view of the public is by complete design. Mm-hmm. It occurs because there are issues that must be discussed that are extremely sensitive. And that was this case. I've been in hearings like this before. They're not always bad, but a lot of times they involve informants. A lot of times they involve a particular action the judge just wants to truly understand it. But in this case, I think this was a reckoning. I really do. I think the judge was incensed that she had a protection order out, that these documents were protected under seal. There is no way they should have gotten out. They came out of that office. And I think that judge really was incensed. We don't see that on the stand, but I can tell you that judges behind the scenes and judges in their judge's box can be completely different situations. I don't think the defense wanted out of this case at all. I don't imagine anybody thinks that. I think they were forced out.
By the judge saying, we're sick of this, we're sick of these behaviors that are going on, whether you're intending to do them or not, they're happening. It's your responsibility ultimately, and this has to stop, kind of like you have to resign. We're not going to give you much of an option. I mean, can a judge do that? Can a judge give an attorney the option of, look, either you leave yourself or we're going to force you out?
They don't want off this case, Tony. This isn't a case of somebody just not getting along with their client or their, you know, client not cooperating with them. That's not what we're seeing. I think it was a huge surprise to everyone involved, and maybe the judge even, that when she got down to the bottom of it and found out definitely these came from the defense side of the hall. And that was it for her. So can a judge do that? Can a judge have discussions about what will happen in the future if, they stay on board? A judge can have discussions like that.
Yeah.
Listen, I wasn't in chambers. I think everybody knows that. This is based on experiences that I've had with inappropriate action of defense counsel and how sometimes that can ferret out with them stepping down, even though they don't want to step down. You put the puzzle pieces together.
Sure. I mean, and with them stepping down, it means so much in this case, especially because of what we've learned the defense plan was going to be, maybe still is, who knows. But yeah, that 160 some page document with the Odinist theories that goes into great detail, even makes several accusations against other individuals who have not been charged in this case. And just by all means, you look at this document, it is extremely fantastical. It has a bit of legs on different portions, which make you go, maybe there is something. And then that's kind of where it ends, as far as we know at this moment in time. Does this change the Odinist argument? Can they change the Odinist argument? I've been saying for a couple days now, or maybe a couple weeks actually, does the Odinist argument help or hurt Richard? I think it could hurt him because it is so fantastical. And this is a man who, take the Odinist theories out of all of it, doesn't look that guilty. But when you put the Odinism in, It actually, because of the fantastical extreme of it, almost looks like there's more guilt there than there would be, I think, without it even playing a factor. So where does the Odinist argument go now?
Well, it'll be interesting to see, because indeed it seems as if she said on the stand that she is going, not the stand in her judge's box, that she is going to assign new counsel. And, you know, that unfortunately isn't just taking your wand and looking down a list and saying, that's going to be you. Mm-hmm. There are only so many people who would be qualified, first of all, to take a case like this. And then second of all, typically good attorneys, they have people knocking at the door to represent them. They have full schedules of trials and other hearings and things themselves. So they have to be able to get out of all of that and be willing to get out of all of that because they're under direction of another judge saying, you will have this done, you have this done. So this is not an easy situation at all. I don't know how they're going to find anybody as competent and as well-read and well-versed. I thought it was very interesting too, that she said we're going to push forward with the end of October hearing that was previously scheduled. Now, hopefully that's just to assign the new attorney. I'm hoping that's all she's expecting, because certainly that attorney would never be well-read enough to enter into some sort of hearing of any substance at the end of the month.
No, not at all. And with a new attorney, that new attorney doesn't necessarily have to believe these Odinist theories or even want to take Richard Allen down that road in front of a jury. Could that whole thing just be thrown out? And how would that affect the case? I mean, would has the damage already been done with these extreme theories being thrown out there? Or will some time and a new defense for Richard be able to kind of, you know, push that into the back? And when it does get to trial, that's more of a memory than it is a current day. Oh, my gosh, look at these very extreme thoughts.
Well, Tony, I think at this point, if this the Odinist theory is off the table, I just can't imagine how that's really going to affect his defense down the road, Tony. I mean, they've basically put their eggs in this direction, and for them to just now erase it all with a new defense, because remember, this also played into the confession. Mm-hmm. How he was ill-treated by the Odinists, how he even recognized those patches and understood Odinism, which I don't think most of us knew about Odinism. Maybe your viewers did. I certainly had never heard of Odinists before. Yeah. And if I were sitting and having coffee at Starbucks and a prison guard walked in with an Odinist patch, I could tell you it wouldn't mean a thing to me. Well, it meant a lot to him. And this is a huge part of being coerced into his confession. I just don't know how they can abandon this road that they're on without it looking even worse.
Unless you have Richard Allen at some point coming on saying, I didn't have that idea. I don't agree with this at all. I mean, there are questions about his mental state, certainly. And I do wonder about his competency a bit to be standing trial at some point because it looks like a very broken individual.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.